That day, Lina was given a message by Arbin Swin, who ran the Calais Street Vegetable Market, to be delivered to Lina's friend Clary, the greenhouse manager. Lina was glad to carry this message, though her gladness was mixed a little with sadness. Her father had worked in the greenhouses. It still felt strange not to see him there. The five greenhouses produced all of Ember's fresh food. They were out past Greengate Square, at the farthest edge of the city. Nothing else was out there but the trash heaps, great moldering, stinking hills that stood on rocky ground and were lit by a few floodlights high up on poles. It used to be that no one went to the trash heaps but the trash collectors, who dumped the trash and left it. Now and then, a couple of children might go there to play, scrambling up the side of the heaps and tumbling down. Lina and Lizzie used to go when they were younger. They'd pull out the occasional treasure, some empty cans, maybe an old hat or a cracked plate. But not anymore. Now there were guards posted at the trash heaps to make sure no one poked around. Just recently, an official job called trash sifter had been created. Every day, a team of people methodically sorted through the trash heaps in search of anything that might be at all useful. They'd come back with broken chair legs that could be used for repairing window frames, bent nails that could become hooks for clothes, even filthy rags stiff with dirt that could be washed out and used to patch holes in window blinds or mattress covers. Lina hadn't thought about it before, but now she wondered about the trash sifters. Were they there because Ember really was running out of everything? Beyond the trash heaps, there was nothing at all. That is, only the vast unknown regions where the darkness was absolute. From the end of Diggory Street, Lina could see the long, low greenhouses. They looked like big tin cans that had been cut in half and laid on their sides. Her breath came a little faster. The greenhouses were a home to her, in a way. She knew that she was most likely to find Clary somewhere around Greenhouse 1, where the office was. So that was where she headed first. A small tool shed stood beside the door to Greenhouse 1. Lina peeked into it, but saw only rakes and shovels. So she opened the greenhouse door. Warm, furry-smelling air washed over her, and all her love for this place came rushing back. Out of habit, she gazed up toward the ceiling, as if she might see her father there on his ladder, tinkering with the sprinkler system, the temperature gauges, and the lights. The greenhouse light was whiter than the yellowish light of the Ember street lamps. It came from long tubes that ran the length of the ceiling. In this light, the leaves of the plants shone so green they almost hurt Lina's eyes. On the days when she'd come here with her father, Lina had spent hours wandering along the gravel paths that ran between the vegetable beds, sniffing the leaves, poking her fingers into the dirt, and learning to tell the plants apart by their look and smell. There were the beans and peas with their curly tendrils, the dark green spinach, the ruffled lettuce, and the hard, pale green cabbages, some of them as big as a newborn baby's head. What she loved best was to rub the leaves of the tomato plant between her fingers and breathe in their pungent, powdery smell. A long, straight path led from one end of the building to the other. About halfway down the path, Clary was crouching by a bed of carrots. Lina ran toward her, and Clary smiled, brushed the dirt from her hands, and stood up. Clary was tall and solid, with big hands and knobby knuckles. She had a square jaw and square shoulders and brown hair cut in a short, squarish way. You might have thought from looking at her that she was a gruff, unfriendly person, but her nature was just the opposite. She was more comfortable with plants than with people, Lina's father had always said. She was strong, but shy, a person of much knowledge but few words. Lina had always liked her. Even when she was little, Clary did not treat her like a baby, but gave her jobs to do, pulling up carrots, picking bugs off cabbages. Since her parents had died, Lina had come many times to talk to Clary, or just to work silently beside her. Clary was always kind to her, and working with the plants took Lina's mind off her grief. "Well," said Clary. She smiled at Lina, wiped her hands on her already grimy pants, and smiled some more. Finally, she said, You're a messenger. Yes, said Lina, and I have a message for you. It's from Arbin Swin. Please add 4 extra crates to my order, 2 of potatoes and 2 of cabbages. Clary frowned. I can't do that, she said. At least, I can send him the cabbages, but only 1 small crate of potatoes. Why? Asked Lina. Well, we have a sort of problem with the potatoes. What is it? Asked Lina. Clary had a habit of answering questions in the briefest possible way. You had to keep asking and asking before she would believe you really wanted to know and weren't just being polite. Then she would explain, and you could see how much she knew and how much she loved her work. I'll show you, she said. She led the way to a bed where the green leaves were spotted with black. A new disease. I haven't seen it before. When you dig up the potatoes, they're runny inside instead of hard, and they stink. I'm going to have to throw out all the ones in this bed. There are only a few beds left that aren't infected. Most people in Ember had potatoes at every meal. Mashed, boiled, stewed, roasted. They'd had fried potatoes, too, in the days before the cooking oil ran out. I'd hate it if we couldn't have potatoes anymore, Lina said. I would, too, said Clary.